Amen, church. Thank you, praise team. You have indeed led us into worship. When I was in college, one of the most difficult classes for me was taking music. It's called music appreciation, that's what they told me. It's one thing to be gifted in music and enter that class, but it's a very different thing when you are completely not gifted in that area. And so I walked into the class knowing, Lord, this is a required class for me to graduate. I actually deferred this class to the very last semester of my fourth year. And I walked in with a lot of trepidations and fear, not knowing what would happen to me when I got in there. I know I can't sing. My family can sing. From my wife all through, they can form a choir, quartet, they will sing. My son will write one of them, my daughter will write music, the other one will put melodies to it, and the other one will play just by ear. They've not been to school, so my grandson is taking that. But for me, I was given a different sets of gifts, and music was not one of my giftedness. Towards the end of the semester, from my struggles, my professor looked at me and said, Kimani, when all is said and done in this journey, you shall remember me. For when you step in the golden shores, the one thing that you shall be doing is singing the song of the Lamb and the song of Moses. And he still gave me a C. But I'm thankful to God because I appreciate music lifts you up. Music carries you. Music navigates you through the challenges of your day, through the sickness when nobody else understands your journey. You notice I talk about journeys. I don't talk about events or circumstances because there are days I can give thanks, but it's in the process of my journey. Because the journey sometimes goes through hills and valleys, through tears and sorrows some days, through joys and accomplishments. There's a lot that happens in the composite of our lives. So I am thankful, and so thank you, praise team, for leading us into the throne of God. Because when we complete this journey, the only thing we will be able to do to tell our story to the heavenly angels and to the other unfallen worlds, it will be through the testimony of songs. So we're blessed that you've led us into that. I want to appreciate every ministry from Sabbath school, the deacons, deaconesses, elders, any ministry leader, that every Sabbath you gather with the intention of responding to the call of God to make sure that when we gather, we're able to worship. I want you to know that as your pastor, I value you. And much more importantly, God values you. Thank you for the effort you put in. I know ministry is difficult, but I want to say thank you for all you do. May the Lord bless you richly. That was my Thanksgiving reflection as I was going through Thanksgiving this day. It's not about what God has done for me, but for the value God has given me in the people He has called on this journey. So this day, as we share together, I pray that you will take that moment to just appreciate one another, value one another, and let God know that He cares for you. For board members, I know we had talked about, there's confusion about when we should have board. Can you just meet me for just 1 minute up here up front after service? Just 1 minute so we can clear out the exact date, whether it's a meeting tomorrow or next Sunday. So let's just meet for a quick minute, just to clarify so we can have clarity how we will proceed forward. Either way, we'll still proceed. But I thank God this morning for everything He has done for us. I thank Him that the eternal clock and the eternal promises are still active. And the clock is still running despite everything that's going on around us. Jesus promised He would come back again. we as Seventh-day Adventists, one of the name that we carry embedded in our name is Adventist. The hope, the promise of the second advent of Christ, that he is coming. And so we've got to live with that promise, and I am thankful every day that I see that as we go forward. Shall we pray together as we get into his word? Our Father and our God, we're unworthy to approach your throne of grace, but through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, you have invited us that we may come before you. We have worshipped from this morning, from Sabbath school, through our praise and worship, through reading of scripture, through our fellowship thus far, we have felt your presence. And for that, we are thankful. And now, Lord, it's a moment that has come that you shall speak to your people. I ask, Lord, that now you will seal anything that the devil will try to bring in our minds, our hearts, our space, that would hinder us from hearing clearly what you have for us. Draw us into your presence now. And as always, as your servant, I ask that in my human flaws that you hide me behind the cross of Christ and allow all eyes to be fixed on you, even as I deliver thy word. May you be with us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Our world is indeed fragile. We watch every day with horror and dismay as our communities are plagued with unprecedented violence. We are shocked into the reality of how fragile freedom and liberty is, and that we are not far from the images we witness in the media coming from other countries. We have witnessed our communities plunge into a storm of magnitude and emergent. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., in the letters from the Birmingham jail dated April 6, 1963, in the context of the church's silence on racial segregation, postulated this warning. But the judgment of God is upon the church as never before. If the church of today does not recapture the sacrificial spirit of the early church, it will lose its authentic ring for faith, the loyalty of millions, and be dismissed as an irrelevant social club with no meaning for the 20th century. I want to pose a question this morning. Is the church relevant in this 21st century? Is the church meeting the needs of her community? Is the church living the true virtues of Christ today? That is the question we must grapple as we consider our place in this community. As God's peculiar people called to proclaim the good news of salvation, we must be careful in this secular and pluralistic society that we do not blend in with society, that we just become that sanctified social club. How is Jesus Christ, who died for you and me, assessing us? People in this day and age are disappointed with the church because she has stopped becoming the agent of change in the community. Church, in many instances, has blended into society and lost her ability to win and to transform people to Christ. And so we gather this morning with continued perplexities in our hearts. And I approach you with humility, with the premise that as Christians caught up in this tidal wave of change, we have to say something about our redemption. Are you with me this morning? We have to say something about Christ Jesus, our Lord, and what he has done for us. And hence the title of my message this morning, The Story of the Redeemed. Are you with me this morning? If you have your Bibles, just kindly turn with me to Psalm 107, verse 1 to 3. We started it this morning with our elder. She read that very same passage. Psalm 107, verse 1 to 3. I'm going to read in your hearing from the English Standard Version. You can follow in your version of choice. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. That is God's word. This psalm opens with a call to thank God. And I thought this message would be appropriate in the context of Thanksgiving. Which Thanksgiving has all its numerous stories, its origins, and everything all around it. But we as children who are called by God, we don't just have one day set aside in the year to give thanks. Bible says in Psalm 107, the psalmist says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." When you wake up in the morning, the first thing you ought to do is to give thanks unto the Lord. When you are walking down the streets, when you drive from point A to point B, when you get on the bus and you're able to get off at your next stop, or get on the train and you're off at the next stop, when you fly and you're up to the next airport, you ought to be able to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Are you with me? And above all, when you rise up in the morning, you ought to remember that you are a Christian. You are, and it means something to be a Christian. Like I said, church has blended into society and we've become a sanctified social club. But we are not like that here at Edmondson. We are the called of God. And therefore we remember the blood of Jesus shed on Calvary for us. And because it was shed on Calvary for us, we have reason to give thanks. When I walk down the streets, I give thanks to God. I told somebody the other day, yes, there's shootings all around. We worry about our houses of worship because we've got crazies walking all around us who are targeting houses of worship. They call it soft targets. But I tell people, even when you go to the market, just yesterday in London, there was a crazy that was going around stabbing people. And as he was stabbing, another copycat crazy was stabbing people in Amsterdam. We live in a crazy world. But I tell people, as a child of God, saved by his blood, when I walk down the street, let me tell you, I have convicted angels of God are surrounding me. The president of the United States may come with his entourage that has to come beforehand, but I have even a greater entourage. I have a retinue of angels that surround me and walk with me. So when I'm in the marketplace, someone's going to look at me and say, "You look different." Yes, I look different because the holiness of God is walking with me. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Do you have reason to give thanks this morning? As we celebrate with our families, as we think about Thanksgiving as a holiday, as Christians, I just wanted to challenge us that our Thanksgiving is every morning, every evening, every noontime, and every minute of the day. This Psalms opens with a call to thank God. The people whom God has saved are to thank him because he rescued them from their enemies, literally from the hand of the enemy. I want to ask you, my brothers and sisters, have you been saved? I'm going to go quiet over there. Because we, sometimes as Adventists, we don't usually say we are saved. I walk around other Christians. As soon as they get in, they say, "I am so and so. I am born again. I am proud to be a Christian." But while we may not proclaim it all the time audibly, have you been saved? Are you experiencing the hand of God. Because you cannot give God thanks until you recognize that God has pulled you from the jaws of the enemy. This exhortation is not to glorify ourselves or what we have done. It is an exhortation to tell what God has done. Not just what he has done for us physically, mentally, and or socially. Though these are worthy of sacred praise, but what he has done for us spiritually, God has redeemed us. The picture of God as Redeemer is one which has its roots in social and family life in ancient Israel. It is used theologically to point to the meaning of what happened to the Exodus. It is used to describe what God did for his people in bringing them back from captivity in Babylon. The intent of this psalm appears to be not merely to display the providence of God, but especially the goodness of God in agreeing to hear the prayers of men and women and to grant them deliverance in answer to their supplications. It's not just intended to address temporal deliverance. God is delivering his people into the kingdom of his Messiah. It is our duty to give thanks to God for his deliverance. Why should we give thanks? The Bible says, oh, give thanks. A general call exhorting us to lift our voices in a chorus of thanksgiving to Jehovah. This is the least we can do in return for what God has done for us. Praise is well pleasing to God, and our voices ought to be uplifted in songs of gratitude. Can you say amen out there? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Goodness is one of the great attributes of God. God is not only good in himself, but also the fountain from which all goodness flows. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. His divine love endures forever. You know, this message, the Lord must have been saying something to us today. Ella Catherine was out here doing children's story corner and came with a measure 12 inches long to measure God's love. Came with a ruler and then cut it. Tried a measuring bag and did not cut it. How wide and how deep is God's love for us? His divine love endures forever. And unfortunately, among the fellowship of believers, it's hard to experience the love of God because our love is temporary. Are you with me this morning? I'm not too sure, even for me as a called servant of the living God, that I have the capacity to love as God is able to love. Are you with me this morning? I used to think, God, just give me a cup of grace when I get up in the morning. But when I get up with a cup of grace, even before I turn around to see my wife and so we can start to pray together, the cup has already run out on me. So I ask God, don't just give me a cup of grace, give me a bucket of grace. But when my wife opened her mouth and we began to talk in the morning and she called me out on some stuff, then the bucket of grace would run out. So finally I got to a point, and we haven't even gotten downstairs to the children and to everybody else. I haven't even, Lord have mercy, I haven't even gotten to the church as yet. I haven't gotten on the streets or on my job as yet. So I have asked God, provide me with an ocean of grace that I can sail in, that ocean of grace that is endless. The capacity to love people in spite of themselves, in spite of who they are, in spite of what they do. Love them just that God loves them. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. The only way our community, the only way someone who's hurting coming through the doors of this church will appreciate and understand that God loves them is if God gives us the ability and the capacity to love them as they are. Let me tell you, the hardest thing is when you know someone is throwing you under the bus behind your back and you get to hear or you get to know and yet they come to church. You know, that's a hard struggle. They walk through that door. I want to walk out through that door. But I got to remind myself, does God walk through the back door when I walk through? Because I also throw the God through the bus every day of my week. God is merciful to me. And so give thanks to the God. To God. The way we fellowship with one another is the lab in which we perfect the ability to exercise the ability to give thanks unto the God for his good, unto God for his goodness and his mercy. His divine love endures forever. The psalmist was conscious that God's goodness and mercy were following him constantly. In all the trying circumstances of life, it is comforting to know that the great heart of God is full of loving kindness and tender mercies towards us all. I know it's hard sometimes to appreciate love because our human interactions color our ability to understand love. I struggled with that as I grew up. What does it mean to love and to be loved? When I became a Christian, I shared this with you before, and I walked into that small Adventist church in Northern California. I came with a certain innocence, expecting the saints of God would be gracious, loving, and kind. The first thing that happened is I lost my job. The reason why I lost my job is because my boss, who was a member of my church, who was one of those who gave me Bible studies, who's the one who taught me how to keep the Sabbath holy, turned around while I was in church and reminded me shortly after I was baptized that you are to work on Sabbath. I struggled with that, and I told him point blank, the Word of God says no. You taught me that. And he reminded me that he is the boss and he will give me a write-up if I do not show up. And I sure got a write-up on Monday. The following week, my father died. And the same week, I was fired from my job for not working on the Sabbath. How can I find love in the body of Christ? That is why God is all-seeing, eternal. And he doesn't just see here. He sees tomorrow as if it's right here. I shared with our prayer meeting that I got up that Sabbath morning. I just couldn't take it anymore. After I lost my job, I got to stop stories. I got to finish this somewhere in 10 minutes here. After I lost my job, my roommates who worked with me in the same institution with my boss decided I was unable to meet my obligations in paying my rent and doing everything else, so they started to write notes. They didn't even talk to me. They would write notes and put them on the fridge. And they had a big notice that said, if your name is not in any of these items in the fridge, do not touch. Basically, it was targeted towards me. So when I preach from a heart that I've experienced. And I ask God, what is the meaning of Christianity? You should have let me stay as an atheist. You should have let me. I wasn't a Christian. I didn't go looking for this thing. Lord, you came to the club while I was minding my business in the club. You saved me. You carried me out of that club. You said you would take care of me. You said you would walk with me. What is this? And I decided this Sabbath I was going to go to church as I had come to be gracious, because God had been gracious to me. And I went to ask the Lord. It's been a good ride, but I just came to say goodbye. And I sat in the first pew. I listened to the sermon. I came to the prayer, intercessory prayer. You see, when people come to church, you don't know what they're carrying in their hearts. You don't know where they've been.
Nobody there in the church knew that this person was destined for hell. I was going right back into the devil's arms. I got up and I said, thank you, Lord. And after the sermon, I made a beeline for the exit, not knowing that that very night, God had approached somebody in a dream and said, that young man that you see sitting there doesn't say much. I need you to reach out to them and stand at the door and wait for them. And so as I was making my beeline to exit the church once and for all, they called out my name and say, listen, I don't know you from Adam. I don't understand you because you're African. But I want you to know the Lord told me. You know, it's scary sometimes when people tell you the Lord told me. But they said, no, I just want you to come so we can pray together. My wife and I have talked, and we would like to have breakfast with you and pray with you. And that began my journey to my call. I talk about how do you trust? I had trust issues with everybody around me. Everybody that I touched failed me. And they came and they promised one thing. They said, listen, we don't have money. But the Lord has asked us to take you through college. Whatever you will need is available for you. And in good faith, in advance, we will show you that we have a bank draft for your tuition, for taking care of your wife and children back in Africa, for taking care of your expenses. And I want to show you how God wants you to trust Him. That's when you preach, when God says His love endures forever, you've got to know who God is. They sent me in San Francisco. They told me, listen, go to Burlington Coat Factory, downtown San Francisco. Anything you need for the next 4 years at Oakwood, we need you to pick out. And being as modest as I was, I just went and picked one suit and one pant. And came back and looked at me. What are you doing? We just told you 4 years worth of stuff. Because you're not coming back here. God makes provisions for you. It was so much so that when I completed college, because my tuition was always paid 1 year in advance, that the college had to refund me $5,000 in cash. And I walked with that to Andrews. That's what got me into Andrews. I said, Lord, now what? Now I'm here. What then? And then my little church woke up as soon as I arrived at Andrews. And remember, they have one of their own that has just got into the seminary. And the old ladies who prayed for me day and night for me to stay the path God had called me upon said, we have a young child, young boy that needs to work up there in school. Can we take care of them? And the school, the church took the responsibility of taking me through the seminary. Every semester, faithfully, they paid my tuition. God is faithful. If you don't have any reason to give thanks, I just want you to know I have a reason to give thanks. This psalm is for those who have suffered and then have seen God's salvation. They all have reason to praise God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever. When I finally shared with my spiritual father my hesitancy with trusting, it's been now over 27 years. Still, every year, make sure that I go home and stay with them for a month, pray with them. They say, what is it that you don't have? Do you need us to buy a ticket for you? We'll buy a ticket to make you feel good. For almost 29 years, their love has been consistent. Consistent. And finally, when we talked, they said, this is what the Lord wanted you to learn. When God says, my love endures forever. Verse 2 of Psalm 107 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Outside of my pulpit, I rarely ever talk.
I don't even try to tell my stories. But I learned that scripture says part of my worship experience is that I have to share. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. This is the duty we owe to ourselves. No one true to themselves is willing to compromise themselves, but is ready for the world to know what they stand, where they stand. This duty of letting others know that we are redeemed, we owe to others. Any secret disciple of Christ wins few for his master, for his or her master. Let the redeemed say so. The duty of letting others know, you know, there is no secret agents for Jesus. Are you with me? Can be anywhere and people can't quite figure out that you are a Christian. They better know who you are and what you stand for and what you're about. And things that you can or cannot compromise. Let the redeemed say so. The duty of letting others know that we are redeemed, we owe above all else to God. We owe it as a matter of gratitude. We owe it as a matter of rejoicing. All the honor and all the praise of our salvation belongs to our God. We owe it to Him as a matter of obedience. He commands it. He says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We who are redeemed should say so in word, both spoken and written. Many have been won to Christ by the written appeal. We should say so with the spoken word in personal profession as we publicly own Jesus as our Savior. Is Jesus Christ your Savior, your Lord and Savior? Many times we are ashamed to claim that He is our Lord and Savior because the world out there knows what Jesus stands for. But when sometimes they look at the story of our journey of life and our interaction with them, it does not match up with what the Savior of Scripture says. And so sometimes we fail to say so because our story does not match up. But I am here to encourage you. Even though you have many flaws, I'm not ashamed to tell people, I'm not perfect. I am going to get angry. I am going to fall and stumble. But I am still going to say so because Jesus has saved me. Like Andrew, who went and searched out his brother and proclaimed, we have seen the Messiah. We who have been redeemed must go and find others and bring them to Jesus. That is the essence of Christianity, the heartbeat of evangelism. To bring our families, our friends, our co-workers, our neighbors into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. We who are redeemed should say so by our works, not only by words of our lips, but also by the works of our lives. Remember, our actions speak louder than word. The gospel lived is more powerful than the gospel preached. I can tell you that from the experience of my boss. He said one thing, but they lived a completely different thing. We should say so before our loved ones in the home. Let the redeemed say so. We should say so before our co-workers. We should say so before our neighbors and before our communities. What are you saying today? What story is your life telling today? The scripture lets us know, let the redeemed say so. Who are the redeemed? Ellen White, in the book Great Controversy, page 416, states, through sin, men and women sold themselves to Satan, but heaven paid an infinite price to buy them back. The redeemed of all people have the most reason to say that God is good and that His mercy is everlasting. Far more than we do, we should relate what Christ has done for us, and our love for Him will deepen as we give expression to it. Let the redeemed say so. Those who have suffered and then have seen God's salvation all have reason to praise God. These include the homeless aliens, war captives, those punished for their sin with personal illness, those who have encountered dangers on the sea, famine, and other afflictions. Let the redeemed say so.
The word redeem means to buy back. It implies that some people who should have belonged to God were dragged away. And now comes one and snatches them back. To be redeemed is to be bought back. But it means that in order to be bought back, you are violently snatched away. And that's what the devil wants to do with us as his children, as God's children. Every single day he's scheming, he's planning how he is going to snatch us away. I shared the other day with you, the devil now walks in church. A devil should never be comfortable in church. Are you with me this morning? He should never be comfortable in our homes. Am I stepping on toes now? The stuff we do, the stuff we say, the stuff we watch, the devil should never be comfortable anywhere around us, because we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Romans 7:4 says, we were sold under sin, but Christ lifted the mortgage and set us free. Galatians 3:13-14 was our scripture this morning. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hanged on the cross, he took upon himself the curse of our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hanged on the tree. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. We were once lost, but we have been found. We were condemned, but we've been set free. We were moral wrecks, but he salvaged us. We were children of the devil, hell bound, but Christ has saved us and changed us and made us children of God and set us our feet on the path that leads to heaven. How great should our gratitude be? What should the redeemed have to say? The scripture says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whether I am in, I'm a super melancholic. It may not look like because I preach a lot, but I'm an introvert. I'm a super introvert. I like to be by myself most times, and it makes a lot of people uncomfortable. When I'm quiet, some people would come and say, why are you so quiet? Until I learned about personality types, and I learned every one of us is gifted. And it doesn't mean just because I am reserved and somebody else is an extrovert that they are right and they are wrong, or I am right and they are wrong. No, we all have our giftedness. You see, in church, God brings us together. I as an introvert, I may not be the right person to do praise and worship in the morning. Are you with me this morning? It needs somebody who's an introvert who will lift all of us up into the gates of Christ and worship with him. And then if somebody needs probably a study, then they may come to me, and then I may sit down quietly and be able to lead them. Every one of us is gifted. We have something to say because God has redeemed us. All of us ought to share something that God has given us. What should the redeemed say? They have an experience to tell. Every redeemed person has a real experience, not just a theory nor a fanciful idealism. As the man born blind, when Christ healed him, said, I was blind, but now I see. He may not have been able to explain the processes, but he knew this one fact, that he could see. Paul was never tired of telling the experience, his experience on the road to Damascus. What should the redeemed say? They have gratitude to express. How can one recall the great blessings of salvation without being grateful? We live in an ungrateful society. People receive, but it's even when a simple thing as you hold a door for somebody and they just come in, walk on, almost kick you out of the way like it was their right for you to open the door for them. We live in a very ungrateful society, and sometimes it rubs up on us as Christians. So we come in and we're not grateful. I am grateful when I see all of you. I see you walk through the doors of the church. I praise God and I'm thankful because I know I'm not just the only one. We've been saved together. We're on a journey together. So I am thankful when I see you. I have something to say about that. Are you ashamed of your salvation experience? When a slave is set free, would he be grateful? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. They have a recommendation to make. As one recommends a good doctor to a sick friend, I recommend to you today a physician who has healing power in the hem of his garment. I recommend to you Jesus Christ, who can restore your lost dignity. I recommend to you Jesus Christ, who can heal that deep pain inside. I recommend to you Jesus Christ, who can restore broken relationships. I recommend to you Jesus Christ, who can save you from your sins. What is your salvation story this morning? You've been redeemed. You've been saved. Christ has rescued you from the jaws and clutches of Satan many times over. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. What can you say about the night Christ delivered you from that accident as you were driving home tired and sleepy? Angels driving your car for you. You all know what I'm talking about. What can you say about the day you're about to lose your family and Christ stepped into your world and rescued you? What can you say about the day you're about to be evicted from your house and the Lord stepped in and rescued and restored that situation? What can you say when doctors have given up on you and disease and sickness racks your body? The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If God has redeemed you, then you have a story to tell. Go and tell your story. Tell someone God is real and that Christ is still Lord and Savior. Tell someone today that Christ is in the most holy place of the holy heavenly sanctuary and that probation is about to close and that Christ, one day, he will step out of that heavenly sanctuary. And this world, as we know it, will be over. And that Christ will come and take all of God's redeemed children home. Tell somebody that you're still part of the fellowship of the unashamed who are carrying the blood-stained banner of Christ Jesus. Tell someone today that you are a soldier in the army of the Lord and invite them to be part of that fellowship. Let the redeemed say so. Tell someone today that Christ is still the miracle worker who will show up on time. Let the redeemed say so. Has God redeemed you? Has God come through for you in that midnight hour? Has God intervened on your behalf when no one else could speak for you? If God has come through for you, then say so. Praise God from all whom all blessings flow. For the Lord has been great to me and to my family. Therefore, I shall say so. You see, you would have to stay many days with me to understand my story. But I'll say this. See, one day I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shores, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Are you thankful this Thanksgiving season for the countless blessings God, through Christ, has extended to you? The days he came through for you when you did not deserve it. The day he dropped groceries on your doorstep when you had run out of options. Are you thankful today because he continues to intervene on your behalf? Well, I must bid you goodbye. As I go to my seat, let me share with you the story about Michael. Can I share one more story for 2 minutes? Michael is the kind of guy you love to hate. He's always in a good mood and always has something positive to say. When someone would ask him how he was doing, he would reply, if I were any better, I would be twins. He was a natural motivator. If an employee was having a bad day, Michael was there telling the employee how to look on the positive side of the situation. Someone asked him, I don't get it. You can't be a positive person all the time. How do you do it? Michael replied,
Each morning I wake up and say to myself, you have two choices today. You can choose to be in a good mood, or you can choose to be in a bad mood. I choose to be in a good mood. Each time something bad happens, I can choose to be a victim, or I can choose to learn from it. I choose to learn from it. Every time someone comes to me complaining, I can choose to accept their complaining, or I can point out the positive side of life. I choose the positive side of life. Life is all about choices. When you cut away all the junk, every situation is a choice. You choose how you react to situations. You choose how people affect your mood. You choose to be in a good mood or a bad mood. The bottom line is, it's your choice how you live your life. Several years later, Michael was involved in a serious accident, falling some 60 feet from a communication tower. After 18 hours of surgery and weeks of intensive care, Michael was released from the hospital with rods placed in his back. 6 months after the accident, one of his former colleagues asked him how he was. He replied, "If I were any better, I'd be twins." Asked what had gone through his mind as the accident took place, the first thing that went through my mind was the well-being of my soon-to-be-born daughter. Michael replied, "Then as I lay on the ground, I remembered that I had two choices. I could choose to live, or I could choose to die. I chose to live." "Weren't you scared? Didn't you lose consciousness?" he was asked. Michael continued, "The paramedics were great. They kept telling me I was doing fine. But when they wheeled me into the ER and I saw the expression on the faces of the doctors and nurses, I really got scared. In their eyes, I read, 'He's a dead man.' I knew I needed to take action." "What did you do?" he was asked. "Well, there was a big burly nurse shouting questions at me," said Michael. "She asked if I was allergic to anything." "Yes," I replied. The doctors and nurses stopped working as they waited for my reply. I took a deep breath and yelled, "Gravity." Over their laughter, I told them, "I'm choosing to live. Operate on me as if I am alive, not dead." Michael lived thanks to the skills of the doctor, but also because, not only of his amazing attitude, of course, because of God. From Michael's story, I learned that every day we have a choice to live fully. Attitude, after all, is altitude. Determines your altitude and is everything. Today, I choose to thank God for every breath I take. What are you thankful for? How are you expressing your gratitude? I just want to invite you to celebrate with me the salvation so freely offered to you and me, yet so costly. I invite you to celebrate the gift of life extended to you by our gracious God. God loves you and God loves me. Today, I choose to be thankful. Do you? If you're thankful in spite of your journey, would you stand with me as I pray? Father, I thank you. This Thanksgiving season, you took a very simple passage that we recite many times over. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. You just want us to worship, just thanking you in spite of our life journey, because you are in control of our life. This morning, we stand as a testament of our thanksgiving in our hearts. Not just with the Thanksgiving meal that we ate, not just because we gathered together as family, but we choose to be thankful because of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, who chose to walk a very long passage called Via Dolorosa, chose to walk up a hill called Calvary, up onto that hill, Golgotha, chose to stretch himself, his arms out between heaven and earth, and lifted on that cross so that we can be united and connected to you as a family. We are thankful this Sabbath morning here at Edmondson Heights. Would you bless us and accept our thanksgiving, our testimonies, our praise. Be gracious to us even as you meet us where we need you most. Bless us now as we reflect on these words, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give thanks unto the Lord.